This Sunday, the 68 teams of the NCAA men's basketball tournament will be announced, and the multi-million dollar bonanza will be underway once again without a single extra penny for the players. As Victor Wishner explains in this edition of A Fan's Notes, the man largely responsible for all of it is a long-forgotten local with an unexpected legacy.
It's hard to believe that the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, the main event of March Madness, was for years boringly sane, with all of eight teams. Filling out a bracket probably wasn't that exciting when the second round was also the final four. It all changed when a former sports writer from Kansas City named Walter Byers was hired as the NCAA's first executive director in 1951. The Westport High School alum boosted the tourney from 8 to 16 teams, and it only grew from there. Over his decades-long reign, he also cut money-spinning TV and licensing deals and transformed a meek nonprofit into the nearly billion-dollar-a-year business it is today. But it was also on Byers' watch that so many petty rules were put in place in the name of amateurism. He even coined the term student-athlete to distinguish players from employees and ward off a workman's comp lawsuit. His enforcers tracked down and punished every little violation, usually without anything resembling due process. According to journalists Joe Nocera and Ben Strauss, Byers was secretive, despotic, stubborn, and ruthless. His imprint was so strong that the NCAA's culture today is not very different from the one he imposed on it. Byers' story comprises the first chapter of their bestseller, Indentured, the inside story of the rebellion against the NCAA. They're among the latest to make the case against the hypocrisy and injustice of collegiate sports, which grow ever more lucrative while its players are denied even basic compensation beyond scholarships. A free plane ticket for an athlete's mother could earn him a suspension and jeopardize his career prospects, yet coaches glide from $1 million payday to the next. If the NCAA is a monster, then Walter Byers was Dr. Frankenstein. And he's largely been forgotten. Byers passed away quietly last year at the age of 93 on his ranch northwest of Topeka. The few feature-length obituaries were really the first time he'd been in the news in more than a decade. His name was rarely spoken, least of all in the hallways of NCAA headquarters. Not because an old despot shouldn't be celebrated, but because, even before stepping down in 1987, he had turned against his own creation. "I think there's an inherent conflict that has to be resolved," he told Sports Illustrated. "We're in a situation where we say it's improper for athletes to get, for example, a new car. Well, is that morally wrong? Or is it wrong because we say it's wrong?" In 1995, Byers codified his remorse in a memoir/manifesto entitled Unsportsmanlike Conduct, Exploiting College Athletes. The retired exec described the outfit he'd built as a conspiracy and called for reforms such as letting athletes earn money on the side and transfer schools without penalty. Nocera and Strauss write that current critics are unwittingly advancing Byers' last crusade. Virtually everything the reformers would call for had been laid out long before by the very man who made the NCAA a cartel. Sports, for all their positive influence, are supposed to be a distraction. It's easy enough to watch with blinders on. But for the thinking sports fan, cognitive dissonance is on the rise, as our love of the game increasingly runs up against our conscience. Change will come, but when and how is not yet clear. And even Byers didn't have long-term answers. And maybe fans watching the tourney on TV and ponying up $5 for the office pool shouldn't be expected to shoulder the same blame as the man who created the monster. But his story should make our couches a little less comfortable as we contemplate our own role in all of the madness.
Victor Wishna is a writer, editor, and sports fan. He lives in Leawood.